This is the Creative Sports Podcast. My name is Justin Peterson.
And joining me are Brock Rahm and Garrett Wright.
Let's see. I kind of wanted to spin off that, and I lost my train of thought as I checked my recording. Boy, this is an edit point.
Justin Law has made a name for himself around college football with his motion and VFX integrated content. But what if I told you he went to school for biology and becoming a content creator wasn't in his plan? Hopefully what you hear in this episode will inspire you to keep working towards what you enjoy doing.
I am rolling.
All right, what do you want to do for time that is?
Let's do 38. Bang.
Man, y'all official. Y'all got
locked down. We like to think so.
Yeah, but, yeah. What podcast are you guys on? Like 50 something now, right?
You're number 60, actually.
Oh, there we go.
I'm honored.
Hitting the big 6-0. All
right. Yeah, we're getting close to 10,000 listens, so excited. You know, it's been going really well, and we've been blown away by the amount of people who listen and tune in and, you know, say thanks for doing this. So it's been cool for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's pretty wild. Yeah, I never thought when we started doing this during the pandemic that it would be a thing that we did for like literally a full year every week.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack, so if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
Excited to have Justin Law here with us today. We're going to dive into college sports and the background that Justin has. I think, you know, when we were talking to a couple guests well before this, that your name came up, and your name has come up multiple times just for your ability to enhance storylines with effects and creating visually compelling content. So that's why we wanted to have you on here today to spill the beans and help everybody else out. So first off, welcome to the show and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been following the podcast for a little bit and excited to finally be on. And yeah.
Awesome. Appreciate it. So can you give us a little bit of a background to understand how you got into sports and what you're doing today at South Carolina?
Yeah. So I guess I'll start off with my journey through college. I went to school for biology and I did video on the side as a hobby, shooting breakdance events in Seattle because I was pretty big into the dance scene over there and decided to pick up a Canon T3i and just kind of like mess around with it.
Hold on. We got to dive into that a little bit more then. So it sounds like you went to school on the West Coast. Are you Washington? You mean Washington State?
No, I went to University of Washington, the better university of the two.
Oh, sorry. I got you.
Yeah, the state of Washington.
The state of Washington. Yes. Sorry, poor line out there for me. But how'd you get into dance?
I actually started in middle school. My brother took a breakdancing class, and we went to the same middle school. So when I got there, I just followed his footsteps. He stopped doing it after a year, and then I did it all the way from sixth grade up until a little after college. Don't really do it too much anymore, but you know, I still kind of stay updated around the whole scene and all that. I still watch a couple of breakdance videos every now and then.
Okay, well, I totally see why. I can see that in your work, I guess. I understand. There's a lot of like EDM style. I don't know. I guess it's also kind of maybe esports type, which is a little bit more edgy than you would typically see. So that's really cool. And so you started doing breakdancing in middle school and into high school. I guess what did you learn from doing your breakdancing? Was it getting into it, always having a routine, or is there something that you carry with you today from that experience?
Yeah. I mean, there's like this whole philosophy in the breakdance scene about like copying people, I guess. So like, if you're going to like take moves from other people, you got to like flip it and make it your own. So I kind of took in that philosophy into like video editing and just like video production in general. It's like, yeah, if you find inspiration from like other things that you see, like change it up and make it your own. So you're not just like stealing and, you know, copying someone's exact, you know, vision. You got to make it your own.
I love that. Cause I mean, I feel like there are so many people that get, you know, really upset when they see something get copied. And there's, I mean, obviously, like, you never want to have your stuff just straight ripped off. But I think there is such a, you know, a flow in this industry where it's just, I don't want to say there are no new ideas left, because there are. But, like, you're always going to be taking elements from somewhere else and learning and growing from the other things that you watch and see in this industry and even outside of sports in video. But, yeah, I mean, it's so important to take those and make them your own and understand, like, to some extent there is, you know, flattery in that when someone takes something that you've done and improves on it. And then it's, you know, you almost have to think of it as competition in my mind, like, okay, now how do I one up this? You know, that's, and I'm sure that crosses over into the breakdance world for you. But I guess from there, like how did video become a part of it? You just started doing video stuff for, you know, breakdance type work there in the Seattle area or in Washington, and then just fell in love with it, or how did you go into video from that point?
Yeah, I just I don't know. I just had like a spark. I've seen my like friends do like photos, and they'll go to like the competitions there and take photos. So I was like, hey, maybe I'll try this out and just like pick up a camera and just see what I can record. So it wasn't anything in particular. It's just like I saw other people doing it, and I was like, you know, I'm ready to go into these competitions, you know, to dance. It'd be cool to, you know, kind of see it from another perspective rather than a participant, but as a viewer.
So how do you go about learning, you know, at that point? How do you go about picking it up all on your own in a way? Because it doesn't sound like you had, at that point, any formal training, right?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it was just like the technical side of learning how to use a camera, which everyone goes through, like getting the right exposure, like what frame rate, what shutter to shoot at. Just a lot of trial and error, and like YouTube, obviously. Like, I mean, you could pretty much learn anything from YouTube. Like, if you could need your tire changed or whatever, you could just like look up a video and you'd probably learn in like 10 minutes. So
YouTube University, man.
Exactly. Yeah. I relied on a lot of YouTube and just, yeah, trial and error.
So then how did you start to parlay that into, you know, something that you actually wanted to do? You know, when did you realize that this is something that I could take a hobby and turn it into what I want to do for the rest of my life?
Yeah, that's kind of the next part of the story. After I graduated, I got a job in a biology lab, and I hated it. Just absolutely hated it. I was working with animals. Not really what I wanted to get into. I wanted to be more on the microbial side, but I just couldn't find a job in that area. I didn't really do a whole lot of internships while I was in school, which was a mistake. So I was working that, and the final straw actually is I was trying to feed a monkey, and he bit me on the hand, and I was like, yeah, I think I've had enough. Like, that was the final straw for everything. And I basically quit my job, and I was kind of having like a quarter life crisis and couldn't figure out, you know, what to do, you know, with my career path now that I've spent 4 years studying the subject, worked it for a little bit, can't stand it at all. And I felt like the next logical option would be to, you know, I do video as a hobby, so why not try to turn this into a career, because it's something I actually enjoy doing. So I spent about 2 months just learning as much as I could about how to get a job in video. And one helpful thing that I did during that time was look at different job postings and basically just scroll down to the jobs and the job responsibilities, because that's basically a checklist of what companies are asking for. So a lot of that was, you know, After Effects, like basic motion graphics, how to use a camera, how to light things, And basically whatever I could learn from YouTube and learn at home, I would try to get that experience. And then eventually ended up landing an internship at this startup company, kind of in the tech field. So I wasn't even in sports yet. And yeah, I was actually at that company for 3 months as an intern. And then I got brought on full time for about 2.5 years. And then about a couple months into my full time there, I would do like sports internships on the side. So I did UW football, Seattle Storm, eventually did an internship with Seattle Mariners. So basically just using that time to get as much experience and learn as much as possible. And then eventually, 2.5 years later, I made the jump to full-time video at UW Athletics.
That's a crazy path. And that's awesome, though, that you figured out what you wanted to do and figured out a way to go after it. I actually still encourage my group to look at job descriptions on a yearly basis, at least, just to make sure that you yourself are keeping up with the industry. But as you listed those things off, there's a lot of things that companies are looking for: After Effects, editing, shooting. The list seems to continue to get longer for entry-level positions. How did you, I mean, besides the YouTube University side of things, was there something in your tech job that you were working at the time, or was it the internships that you were allowed to create projects, or were you doing like personal projects on the side to try and, you know, build up your skill sets there?
A combination of the two. At work, that's basically an opportunity to get, you know, like real projects and like manage your own projects. And I was always use those opportunities to kind of like push myself with each project. So if there's something that I would want to incorporate that I've just recently learned, I'll try to find a project within, you know, my job to help me put that out in a, how do I word this? Like a real life example for later on to use in my portfolio. I mean, not every job's going to be like that, to have that flexibility, but luckily it was a startup company. So they were really open to, you know, any idea that could help our company. Like, I want you to throw it out. So they let me do pretty much like whatever I wanted to, as long as it was in the scope of our goals and, you know, brand. And then personal projects, you know, I was still shooting breakdancing. So using those to basically try out anything that I wanted to learn. So yeah, basically trying to not just learning through YouTube, but applying it to a real world project is what, you know, really helped me out.
How did sports come into the picture then? I mean, have you always been a sports fan? Have you been a sports guy? Because like, listen, there are video nerds, and we definitely are, but like, it feels like the video nerds and the science nerds are, you know, not always in love with sports, you know? So how did sports become a thing for you and a place where you wanted to kind of make your mark in your career?
Yeah. So I was actually not a sports fan at all. Like, I did not watch it or anything. And it actually came up in a few interviews, and I'm always like, yeah, I'm not really a big sports guy. Like, I just love, you know, the content creation part of it, like the fast paced stuff. And I think that just stems from what I started with, which is breakdancing. So I think the logical next step was like, hey, this is very similar to, you know, action, you know, high intensity. So I feel like I would do well, you know, transitioning from that into sports. So I think that's where it came from. But over time, you know, working for these different teams and like working with different athletes, I definitely, you know, love sports, and especially the college football side of it, which is what I've been working for the past couple of years.
Yeah, so you got in with Washington. Can you help us get to where you are today with South Carolina?
Yeah. I did a seasonal full-time position with University of Washington Athletics. Once that was running out, you could only, seasonal being that it could only be 950 hours that you could work per season. So near the end of that, I started to look for jobs, and I knew that if I looked outside of Seattle, my range of opportunities would open up. I mean, there's a lot of jobs in Seattle, but, or a lot of sports team in Seattle, but you kind of have to get lucky with the timing. So I extended my search to other places in the country, and then luckily Ohio State football was hiring at the time. So I applied for that, interviewed, and luckily got the job. And I was there for about a year, did a season, and then had the opportunity to come down here to be a senior producer for University of South Carolina. All of athletics, but mainly working for football and sometimes basketball.
What have you learned, you know, moving to, you've worked with three pretty big brands now at this point, you know, with Washington, Ohio State, and South Carolina, and you've done it, I mean, really in about a 3-year stretch, right? So what have you seen, you know, working at those three different brands and how they operate? I mean, what have you kind of taken away from each different place you've worked that maybe each of them do uniquely? You know, they do something different that you've, you know, carried with you to each next step.
Yeah. I mean, University of Washington was probably the most different just because it was all of athletics. I mentioned that I work athletics now, but like I said, primarily football. And that was doing more of video board stuff. So game presentation, you know, crowd prompts and all that. But going from school to school, it's pretty similar. It's just whoever, I guess, the higher up or your boss is, or where the ideas are coming from, is what will drive your content plan and be, you know, the difference between each of those schools. So, you know, athletics, we're getting our instructions from basically game presentation and marketing versus, you know, or versus Ohio State, which would be football recruiting. So you're targeting demographics of 16 to 18 year old high school players, trying to get them to come play for your school. And then the transition from Ohio State football to South Carolina football was about the same, because we're, our main, at least my main priority is recruiting, but we also do video board and marketing, trying to drive ticket sales and all that.
I think understanding your roles at the different universities and your objectives is helpful. And I think your style very much plays into, as I was saying earlier, the edgy, more esports, techno, EDM style content creation is really what kids are looking for, especially in that age range that you were talking about. I guess, how much time do you get in a lot of the content that you're creating? And how much of the recruiting aspect is it that you're actually pitching stuff to the football office administration or whatever, versus you creating it and then taking it to them and be like, hey, I think this would be great for them?
Yeah. For timeline wise, I mean, we all know sports is a very fast turnaround. So some projects are, you know, shoot it in the morning, edit it, you know, and then send it off later in the day. But then some other bigger projects, you can take as much time as you need to get it, but still, you know, within a reasonable time frame, say a couple of weeks. As for the direction, it's more of an ongoing conversation with your coaches if you work in recruiting. So sometimes they'll come up with the idea that they have, you know, to, and they'll send that off to you. Or other times you'll be like, hey, I think this would be great to reach out to these kids, to, you know, to rate late on the topic, because that's really what it is. We're creating content for coaches to send out and start a conversation. So anytime you get a reply back from a recruit, that's like a good thing. And you know that your content did its job. It's not just like, you know, send it off and then never hear back from them again. It's like creating a conversation.
How do you personally go about staying on top of, you know, what's cool and what's interesting, both in the video industry and to the, you know, 15, 16, 17 year olds that you're trying to hit with your demographic? You know, how do you seek out what's new and interesting and just try and stay fresh as a creator?
Here in South Carolina, we kind of focus on what makes South Carolina special. And I know that that's not the same for every other school. Some other schools are looking at what other, you know, other programs are doing. And we also do that, because you got to just, you know, be aware of what else is out there. But down here, we look at what our program has that's unique. So like, we have a tradition like Sandstorm and like Gamecock Walk and all these things that make Carolina special. So we kind of use that as our driving force for recruiting. And it makes it really cool because we're basically trying to present our location and our program and kind of bundle that up in a 30-second to 2-minute video so kids can kind of experience, you know, South Carolina without having to actually visit here. And then also when they come in for their recruiting visits, we'll have content for them too that's kind of unique that doesn't get so seen on social media and all that. So we'll cater it to, you know, the recruits, if that answers your question.
Yeah, I think for the most part it does. And I mean, I think a follow-up that comes out of that for me is just hearing you talk about, you know, you're trying to create this kind of game day atmosphere in your videos and let people experience what South Carolina is all about without having been there. Obviously, the last 16, 18 months, people couldn't be there. You know, you couldn't bring recruits on campus. And I mean, how much did that change your job this pandemic and the lack of, you know, the ability to bring recruits on campus? And, you know, did it change what was asked of you beyond just how you went about things?
Yeah, it was definitely different. We did a whole basically virtual visit. So to substitute the official visit, in-person visit. So we filmed basically like first person video of like meals, first person video of cooking demos and locker room tours and all that, just to kind of simulate a person being there, kind of like a GoPro style, you know, wide angle field of view. So yeah, it was, the pandemic definitely brought about a bunch of interesting challenges of just how can we show off all these things that, you know, a person can't come and, you know, feel, touch, see, hear themselves, you know.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, you had just moved to South Carolina when this all hit. Is that right?
Yeah, I got down here March of last year, which is basically right before everything shut down. So I didn't have my first day in the office until months later. Like I did the whole NFL draft last year from home. Yeah, it was a crazy time to, you know, be transitioning jobs.
I mean, how do you handle that personally, right? Because you moved to a new place, like you want to meet your colleagues, you want to go out, you want to, like, you know, just become a part of the scene there in the athletic department. Like, how did that go for you personally, just dealing with that as you adjust to a new place?
Honestly, I ain't going to lie, I kind of thrived off the off the work from home. Like, you know, I enjoy working from, you know, my three screen setup from home. But yeah, I definitely wanted to, you know, meet my coworkers and all that, but we had, you know, you just have to make it work. And just, I would reach out to my coworkers to try to just ask them to get a feel for our program if I didn't understand something. And just watching them, you know, I've been following South Carolina videos for a long time, so I kind of already knew what the culture was about. And if I wanted to dive in deeper, then, you know, I could always reach out to my boss or coworkers to ask more about it.
Is there a project that you can highlight and talk us through how you approached it to integrate some effects while also making sure that you stuck to the story of what you were trying to accomplish and the message that you were trying to share, whether through something that didn't go out on social or and went directly to the athletes or something that did go out on social?
Yeah, we had this project for we just got a new head coach this year, Shane Beamer, great guy. And he basically gave an introductory press conference about the state of our program and kind of the city of Columbia. And there's this scene where I composited a real life sandstorm behind the stadium. I don't know if you've seen it. But yeah, that kind of, I worked that into the video, but it still flowed with the storyline because there's a part in there where he was talking about the passion of the fan base. And I was like, how can I show this in a more, you know, dramatic, extreme way that people would, you know, kind of understand? Like, how can I capture the feeling that fans have here, like within a visual? So before our kickoff, we have probably our most like known tradition is Sandstorm. And that's basically, you know, you play the techno song and then we have, you know, 80,000 fans waving white towels around the stadium. And it's just the spectacle of experience. Even during the pandemic last year with 20,000 people, I still got chills, you know, running out and listening to Sandstorm. And I can't even imagine what it's going to be like this year. But basically, I wanted to capture that to kind of showcase the passion of the fans. So I basically had this buildup where the sky was turning from blue to orange. And then at the drop showed the fans going crazy. And then the next clip was the actual Sandstorm coming towards the stadium. So just thinking of it like that, going from, okay, what am I trying to accomplish with this effect to actually doing it versus like doing an effect because it looks cool. So that's kind of like my philosophy around VFX and motion, is having a purpose behind it.
How do you think about story when you're building a video like that? Or, I mean, even some of the recruiting stuff, I mean, just any of that, how do you work story in? Because a lot of people think of hype videos and they just think, you know, like high intensity music, like fast cuts, and like, there's not necessarily that big of a story, but like, at what, how do you work that in? How do you feel about, you know, making the hype video bigger than just, you know, a high energy thing and tying it to something bigger and making it kind of a narrative in your video?
Yeah, first thing I always do is I ask myself, well, what am I trying to accomplish with this video, and what are the goals for this video? So I'll write that down, and then I look at, you know, if we have any audio clips that will accomplish that goal or is related to that goal. So if I don't have that, I'll grab somebody, do an interview, and hopefully they say something that I could use along those lines. So I definitely, audio first is my philosophy for that regard, because I think audio will drive your video. Most of the time when I'm making a video, I have my audio bed before, you know, any clip is actually laid down. And if your audio is good, then more than likely your whole video is going to be good, no matter what visuals you put in. So start with goal, audio, and then find clips to, you know, add the visuals to support that audio. And then a lot of the times I'll use, you know, motion graphics or VFX to kind of, you know, accentuate that point. If I don't feel like, you know, just having a normal video gets the point across.
You mentioned audio there with your background in breakdancing. What do you look for in music when you're trying to put that together? And how does that fit together with the audio portion that you just mentioned, finding sound bites and those kinds of things to help drive the piece?
Mm-hmm. So that kind of goes back to like the purpose and goal is the thing that helped me with, or the thing that breakdancing has helped me with, is kind of learning the feeling between like genres and songs. So like, and I feel like every person has this, like you listen to a song, you get chills, right? Or you listen to a song and your mind just kind of daydreams about like scenarios in your head, like, oh, I know this is a sad song, or oh, I know this is a happy song. So getting the right feeling for a song definitely helps your piece out. And if you know the goal, then you know what type of thing you're looking for. And sometimes it takes a little bit of searching, but other times you'll hear a song and you're like, yeah, that's the song. But other than that, like I mentioned, since we work in recruiting a lot of the popular songs that 16, 18-year-olds listen to, like I have to know them. Like before starting this job, like I didn't know who like Pooh Shiesty was. So
yeah, I'm in that boat. Yeah. I've never heard that name before.
Yeah. So you got to stay up to date, and players can definitely help you out with that a lot. Like during our showcase, like we had this happen like dozens of times, like, hey, who has the aux cord, you know? So they'll just like play stuff. But yeah, just knowing what's popular. And if you're going for cinematic, then you probably will want to use a cinematic score. If you're going for hype, then, you know, rap or hip hop, but also you can mix in EDM if you want to. But that's what I find myself leaning towards a lot, just because it relates more to like the general football audience. It's just like rap, hip hop.
When you are creating graphics and adding the motion graphics or VFX how do you have the confidence in order to do that? Are you practicing on other projects on the side, or are you, do you just go into it going, I have this idea and I'm going to figure out how to make it happen?
Yeah. So this actually has changed throughout my career. I feel like early on in my career, I would learn things like a technique, like a specific technique, and then apply that to my video, versus now I'll come up with the idea first. And most of the time I probably don't know how to do it yet. So, but I've done it enough times, or I've been in that scenario enough times where I'm confident that, hey, I could probably watch a YouTube video that would get me like 60% of the way there and then figure it out from there, or the other way around, start on it. And if I get stuck, then I'll look up a YouTube video and hopefully that could be enough to, you know, get me to what I'm trying to do in my head. And other times the idea just does not work and I can't figure it out. But luckily in sports, you're doing so many videos that if one doesn't hit, you know, you just move on to the next one. And that's what I try to tell myself, is like, it sounds kind of counterintuitive, but each video that you do is really not that important because you're doing so many of them. And that kind of gives me, you know, a sense of freedom of like experimenting, probably more so in the college realm, because, you know, there's less of a oversight from, you know, the higher ups. You know, I just talk to my boss, versus like if you work in the pros, you're working with like sponsorships and your boss, marketing, different departments. So working in the college has really helped me, you know, experiment with different things.
This is a question that we like to ask a lot of our guests, and it's about failure. You know, is there, you talk about, you know, sometimes stuff just doesn't work. Is there a time that really stands out to you that you failed, but like you learned a major lesson from it, or you've been better because of it?
Yeah, like every single week. I can't really think of a specific example, but I've learned that, you know, most of the time you could get something produced. Like if it's not your vision 100%, then at least you could go probably like 80%, or if it doesn't work, then you could, you know, try another idea. And that's where my team comes in, if with like brainstorming all that, if, you know, something that, if an idea is just like completely, you know, goes awry, then, you know, I can always reach out to my team and get, you know, different perspectives. And a lot of the time that's what I'll need to, you know, finish the project.
You talked about your team a little bit there. How does your team operate as far as, you know, roles? Do you guys kind of specialize where like you're mainly doing editing and After Effects, someone else is doing the shooting, someone else is kind of like writing and concepting, or is it like a pretty, you know, all hands on deck, like you're shooting, you're editing, you're concepting, you're, you know, everyone's doing a little bit of everything? How does it work there at South Carolina within the team that you're on?
Yeah, everybody on our team is multi-talented. So we don't have just editors, we don't have just shooters. Everybody's capable of doing, you know, multiple things. Our designers can shoot photos. Our videographers can do, you know, if they have to do a graphic, they'll probably do a graphic. And that's just kind of the mentality around college sports, is you got to do a little bit of everything, because there might be a day where it's just you, or there might be, you know, just two of you working on a project and you got to get it done. So everybody knows how to light things. Everybody knows how to shoot, et cetera. And that's kind of what has built my tool set, is just working in college athletics. Is I like to do, you know, a little bit of everything. So for these media days that we just got done, I did the animations for the video board, but I was also, you know, directing players and shooting, you know, during it.
I saw the motion graphics that you posted that you were just talking about, which are fantastic. Can you talk us through what your approach was heading into your media week and what you're trying to accomplish for this season with this theme, with the new coach?
Yeah. So I already previously done two different video board designs for last year. So one of the main goals was to just make something that looks different. And I kind of went with like the stretchy text, which is kind of popular, but I didn't use any of that last year. And then doing metallic 3D models of things that were related to our program. So like we did like the state outline with a neon crescent moon, which is in our state flag. We did our logo, obviously. Basically, yeah, just trying to connect it with our program, but also make it look different than past years. The messaging with our new head coach is welcome home. And that idea is, you know, South Carolina is home to us and people here love this place. And we want whoever coming or whoever comes to play for South Carolina to love this place like the people from here love this place. And that's huge for our brand messaging this year. And we do that by, you know, like I said, finding things that are special about here and our program that are unique and try to get that, you know, in our visuals.
So when you're setting up for this content week with football, what are you capturing? Are you capturing portraits that are incorporated with the motion graphics? Are they kind of separate? What are the different stations, I guess, if you will, that you have players go through in order to accomplish what you need for the season?
Yeah, so we have two stations every year, and that'll be a photo station with basically full body, and that's to use for graphic design elements, so doing like cutouts and all that. And we do that, we'll get multiple poses of each player just so we have the option to make any graphic throughout the season. And then the video station, we're capturing for basically a wide array of media throughout the year. One being our intro video, social media gifts. So like say if Kevin Harris scores a touchdown, we have Kevin Harris doing like a thumbs up or some sort of celebration that we could post, you know, onto Twitter during that moment. And then just anything else that, you know, we could use that footage for. So that could be like an NFL draft video. So if that player gets drafted, we have footage that we could intercut with highlights that, you know, kind of just break the video up.
So is it primarily green screen, blue screen content capture?
For photo, we shoot primarily, you know, just with the black background, just so cutouts are a little bit easier, you know, just with the contrast and all that. For video, we do not use green screen. We like to build, you know, kind of like a cool looking set. So we'll use like tube lights, like quasars, just to make it as cool as we can. The past 2 years, we've incorporated this video board that we had sitting around in our practice facility. So yeah, we like to change up the look every year. And basically just the main goal is to make it look cool.
Obviously right now, the biggest thing in college athletics is NIL. You know, how has that started to affect, you know, the work you're doing, the content you're being asked to create, and what kind of conversations are you having within your group about the impacts that it may have going forward? Because obviously that's something that's going to, you know, affect creatives as much as any other department in athletics.
Yeah. During the whole buildup into the actual release date or the start date of NIL was a whole thing, like a whole, I don't want to swear on here, but basically an S storm. because no one knew what was going to happen. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
you've redeemed yourself on that one, Garrett.
Nice one. Yeah. Basically no one had a clue of what was going to happen, of what would be allowed. And kind of the consensus of when it actually happened is most universities are actually laying off of it. So a lot of university employees are not allowed to, you know, create things for endorsement deals. Some colleges partnered with different companies like Open Doors. We use Altia Sports down here, and they'll basically be a counselor for, you know, brand deals and brand partnerships. So we can educate, but we can't, as creatives of, you know, the athletics department, actually, you know, make stuff for these NIL deals. So that's kind of been interesting because I feel like a lot of these colleges, their main messaging was come here, we can build your brand. So that's kind of the controversial part in my eyes about this whole ordeal. I mean, I would love to create for these student athletes. Like, if they got a deal to be able to, you know, make a package for them, or, you know, make graphics for them, because that'd be super sweet. Because we all want our athletes to succeed, and it not be able to, you know, make content for that kind of sucks.
Well, and even outside of, you know, creating content for deals, you know, there still is that brand building concept of what you're trying to do within athletics. I mean, do you see yourself maybe doing more individualized content for players, you know, that's maybe player specific, you know, not necessarily a brand deal, but to help them get their name out there more and just get more attention broadly in the content spectrum?
Yeah. Ever since NIL has been in the conversation, and right now, because it just happened, we did put an emphasis on getting, you know, for these media days, the past couple of years, you know, we'll get it to them, you know, photos to them, you know, maybe in like a couple of weeks when we got it all edited. But this year we're doing it live. Basically, as the photo shoot's happening, we'll drop off cards to somebody and they'll sort through all the photos, you know, make their selections, and we'll get these uploaded to a box and sent to our players through a link. So basically just like trying to expedite the process so they can have these materials to, you know, market themselves. So basically, yeah, we'll do everything we can within, you know, regulations to help our players, you know, succeed and build their brand and, you know, give them the right materials to do so.
I wanted to dive a little bit into your motion graphics VFX. I know you've talked a little bit about YouTube University and finding a way to learn on your own and using projects to push yourself. If there's somebody that looks at your Instagram or the content that you're producing and goes, I'd love to be able to do something like that, where do they start? How would you encourage them to get into it and start trying some different things?
Yeah, I think the first step is, you know, before you run, you have to learn how to walk. So definitely, you know, find a master course or a master class on, you know, the basics and fundamentals of a program. So, you know, learn where all the buttons are, learn the shortcuts. And then from there, once you build a good enough foundation, is just start coming up with ideas and then finding, you know, the right tutorial for that. But also using, besides from YouTube, using other resources, like, you know, maybe just DM a person. If you see something cool that you want to do, like, ask them how they did it. And then most of the time you'll get I get a good amount of DMs, and then I try to respond to a lot of them. Most of the time people are open to, you know, sharing with how they did something. But other than that, yeah, just YouTube, asking people, experimentation, you know, trial and error.
Did you take any classes?
I did a school motion class when I did my startup company, and that was fantastic. Like, they're definitely a great resource. I mean, a little on the more expensive side, but definitely worth the money, just because they teach actual animation principles versus like click this button to do this effect. And that's a great way to start learning, is learning principles of things, of like why something looks good versus like, you know, how to just do an effect, because that translates throughout all your work. Versus like, if you just learn a very specific effect, then, you know, you know how to do that one effect.
So I guess to wrap it up, starting with biology, getting bit by a monkey, now you're working with Gamecocks. I saw that as part of your setup. It looks like you got some photos there. I'm assuming you didn't get bitten this past week.
I did not get bitten.
That's good. It's a good start.
Although the Gamecock did hop off and kind of like ran at us, but yeah, no casualties.
But you had experience. You had previous experience that you could rely on to help bring things back in. What advice would you give to people? You didn't necessarily start in this industry, so if people are, obviously with the pandemic too, there's been a lot of jobs that were suspended or not open or available. So I think there's a lot of people that are just out of school that are looking for jobs. You obviously didn't go to school for this, and you still found your way into it. What advice would you give to people who may be struggling to find something right now of A, what can they do, and what other positivity can you put on there to help them understand that, you know, they can keep going and still make this happen for themselves?
Yeah, I'll start off by saying that, like, it's never too late to, like, get in this industry, and there's no correct route to get there. Like, based off my experience, is you could get in, you know, anyway. Basically, what it comes down to is your skill set, your portfolio, and your reel. So make sure you have the right foundation for, you know, if you want to be video editor, learn the foundation for that. You want to be a video producer, learn how to shoot and edit. But a lot of the deciding factor if you're getting hired is your reel and portfolio, and your work is basically everything, like even more so than your resume. So if you don't have enough work or you want to improve your portfolio, go out, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, paid gigs. Like, passion projects are great to boost up your portfolio. And if you're passionate about that, then likely the project's going to turn out better than if you were to take a paid gig anyways. So definitely go out and just make stuff. If you're struggling with coming up with ideas, is you could reach out to, you know, nonprofits or, you know, lower leagues of sports, not necessarily lower, but just like leagues that don't get covered as much as, you know, as pro and college level. Like, you could go and shoot intramural. If you guys know Billy Quach, you know, he shoots Quidditch. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing. So since that doesn't have a whole lot of light, like, you could do the, you could, you know, make that really cool and basically be the first one to make a, you know, a super hype Quidditch video or just, like, I don't know, do some crazy motion graphics with Quidditch, and that will make your portfolio stand out from someone who just, you know, does, you know, your typical things that you see on every other portfolio. But yeah, after you make your portfolio, make a really good reel, keep it short and concise, put your best stuff on there. And yeah, those are really the key elements of getting hired.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creative. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker, and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.